Today, I'm happy to welcome you to Restore Life Podcast with Stanley. Here, we learn how to grow our knowledge of God's Word and to rest in His goodness. On this platform, we will share how you can act on the Word of God, how you can walk in your inheritance and enjoy all God has made available to you in Christ Jesus. Today, I'll be sharing on the wonders of worship. Acts chapter 16, from verse 22, the Bible says, "A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten and they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them in the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, 'Stop! Don't kill yourself! We are all here.' And they shared the word of the Lord with him and all who lived in his household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized, and he brought them into his house and set a meal before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. Then the next morning, the city officials sent the police to tell the jailer, 'Let those men go.'" Amen. You may have heard someone talk of the wonders of worship. This famous story of Paul and Silas praying and singing in the Macedonian prison tells it all. Recall that Paul and Silas came to Macedonia by a compelling vision from the Holy Spirit. And there they brought good news, healed the oppressed, and for a reward, they were stripped like common criminals, beaten without restraint, bound by chains to their feet, and locked in the darkest part of the prison in solitary confinement. You know, sometimes good people suffer for doing good. Paul's response to this undesirable situation turns this experience from sour to sweet, from overwhelming to overflowing. And it has become a model to anyone who wishes to live victoriously over life's situation. At midnight, the Bible says, at that darkest hour of the night, Paul and Silas prayed and praised, and everything changed. Just when the pain or discomfort is at its peak, you can choose to complain or praise. And let me tell you something about prayer and praise. Both of them take your attention off yourself and turn it to the living God, howbeit momentarily for some. When a believer's prayer is mixed with praise, it becomes a sacrifice of worship which God cannot overlook. The spiritual rules are physical, I'm sure you agree. And in the spiritual, worship is a weapon that throws the enemy into confusion. It breaks the limitations and destroys yokes. It opens closed doors and brings the very presence of God into the scene. When you worship instead of worrying, you get divine direction on the steps to take. As worship goes on, there is a koinonia with the host of heaven that leaves you in a lingering rhapsody, and this feeling inspires joy in you, even in the midst of a trial. Worship literally takes your attention from off yourself and the problems and turn it to the living God. Paul and Silas took your attention off the chains that held them down and instead prayed and praised. And the results were astonishing. First, we see the chains came loose for all prisoners. The doors were thrown open, not just for Paul and Silas, but for all the prisoners. The custody officer and his household got converted and baptized before daybreak. That was conversion made easy. The custody officer cleaned and bandaged their wounds and fed them with good meal. So imagine Paul and Silas having their physical needs met by someone who was supposed to be their custodian in the prison. What a miracle. Remember that the chains of all the inmates in that prison came off because two men took their eyes off their pains and ministered unto God. Do you know that the liberation of other men from the shackles that hold them lies with you? Your worship is capable of delivering freedom to all oppressed people around you now. There is something equally amazing about the story. You'll notice that in spite of the chains falling off and the prison gates thrown open, Paul and Silas did not escape from the prison. They did not use up this unique opportunity. You know why? I believe it's because they understood that there was a greater purpose to their lives than an escape from prison. Oftentimes, we are in a hurry to escape from our problems, and we are too quick too quick to call it quits. But God is saying, persevere a bit. I have an unfinished job. Because by daybreak, the magistrate himself ordered the release of Paul and Silas with apologies and restitution. They would have left the city as miscreants and would have been declared wanted had they escaped from the prison. But now, they live as innocent men with escorts. In life, friend, there will be hurdles to cross, mountains to climb, valleys to walk through, and there will be lonely moments. But in the midst of these transient experiences, if you will direct your attention to God, that will be sacrificial worship. And then you will see God break chains of hopelessness, throw open prison doors, and bless others through your victory. Remember our Lord Jesus. If he had stuck his eyes on the excruciating pains he felt and had not focused on God, he would never have reconciled man to God eternally. So let's follow his examples and let's worship. Would it always seem convenient? No. Worship isn't the most convenient thing when you've just had an awful setback. Grief is a healthy response to certain losses. And God can handle your grief. God can handle your anger, your shock, and your fear. He's able to handle your extreme emotions because he's the one who gave them to you. Yes, Job gives us a great example of this. Job loses everything, his family, his livestock, his home, and his wealth. And he didn't pretend with his response to the situation. Job grieved in the way the Middle Easterners in his day would have done it. And then he worshipped. The Bible says in Job chapter 1 verse 20, Job stood up, tore his robe in grief, and then he shaved his head and he fell to the ground to worship. So when do you worship, friend? Worship when it's looking good. Worship when things seem to be falling apart. Worship when life feels uncertain. Worship when you have a song to sing and when you don't. When you stand before a closed door, worship. When you walk through an open door, worship. Worship when the promises of God are taking too long to come to fruition in your life. Worship when the walls seem so high and humanly impossible to cross. Worship God in the midst of your journey. Worship when it seems you're running out of time. When you don't understand the why, the when, and how, just worship. Mary was in a similar position in Luke chapter 1, 34 to 38. She was overwhelmed with the message and the thought of a supernatural conception. And then the angel added to her bewilderment by intimating her about the miraculous conception of her 60 years old aunt, Elizabeth. And as recorded in verse 38, in her perplexity, she submitted to God in worship by affirming the word of God. As she said, be it unto me according to your word. And as soon as she did, the angel of the Lord disappeared, as though he was waiting for her to utter that word of worship, or that statement of worship. Angels are involved in worship, I can tell you this. I believe that the angels of the Lord are present when we worship. This innumerable company of angels are witnesses, confirming our affirmation of God's promises as we worship God, and then they minister to us in return. Are there limits to where and the timing of worship? Sure no. There aren't limits to the place and the timing of worship. It can be done on the go. It can be done as soon as you hear this message. Paul, as a guide to Timothy, his son, said, so I want men everywhere to pray with holy hands lifted up to God, free from sin and anger and resentment. When we lift our hands to God, that's worship. And you know, worship magnifies God above any situation. Psalm 50 verse 23, the Bible says, whoever offers praise glorifies me. And you either magnify God or you magnify your problem. And what you choose to magnify takes a central place in your life. Paul and Silas magnified the Lord, and God moved on their behalf. Before Job would complain too far, he first worshipped. And his later end, the Bible says, was greater than his beginning. Mary's worship and submission to God caused the will of God to come through in her life. Would to God that you took your eyes off the chains, set your attention on him and worship him. And then you will see him move on your behalf. And then you will move from overwhelming to overflowing. I pray in Christ's name, may your eyes be open to the wonders of worship, and may your life show off the wonders of God. Amen. If you've been blessed by this podcast, please share it with other people whom you love. God bless you. Amen.